Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
Today's scripture addresses Pentecost. It addresses the fact that on Pentecost we are giving the gift from God of His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that not only acts as teacher and mediator to us, but He also acts as the go-between between us and God. He talks to Jesus on a constant basis about our needs. And when we pray, He carries those prayers to Jesus. So please listen to your own personal message as I read John 14, 15 through 21. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you. He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am within you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Bless the reading of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I hope you'll have a nice, safe trip.
Thank you.
Enjoy. Two quick announcements I forgot to make. Sandy Salmon, one of our members, is receiving in-home health care, and because of our operations on her shoulders, having difficulty preparing meals. So if someone would like to prepare single-serving meals for her, you can see Kathy Seggy. Also, the food bank can always use more food, so let's not forget about that. Thank you. An anonymous email tells a story that I think we need to hear on this Memorial Day weekend. It's about an old man and his wife sitting in the parking lot of a supermarket. The hood is up on the car, and evidently they've been having engine problems. A young man in his early 20s with a grocery bag in his arm walks directly towards this elderly couple. The older gentleman emerges from his car and takes a few steps towards the young man. He points to the open hood and asks the young man for assistance. The young man puts his grocery bag into his new expensive SUV, turns back to the old man and yells at him, "You shouldn't even be allowed to drive a car at your age." Then, with a wave and a hand, he gets into his car and he speeds off, offering no help, just insults. The older gentleman pulls out his handkerchief, mops his brow, and goes back to get in his car with his wife. Again, he looks at the engine, then he reassures his wife that, "I'm sure everything will be okay." A stranger approaches the old man, says, "Looks like you're having a problem." The old man smiles sheepishly and quietly nods his head. The stranger looks under the hood, but he has no more expertise with automobile engines than the older gentleman. He assures the gentleman that he will return and go to this gas station, service station. He explains the situation to the mechanic and says, "I will pay for it if you will just come and help this couple with their car." A few minutes later, he returns with the mechanic. The stranger gets into conversation with the gentleman. The stranger is wearing a ring signifying that he was a Marine. So the older man confides that he had served in the hardest battles in our nation's history, including Guadalcanal and Okinawa. He had retired from the Marine Corps after the war. After the car was repaired and running, the older gentleman handed a car to the stranger and shook his hand and parted, went their separate ways. A little while later, the stranger happened to look at the car, and the name on the car was embossed with golden leaf, and under the name was written, "Congressional Medal of Honor Society." It was only then that this former Marine realized that he had come to the aid of one of America's finest and greatest heroes. Just a reminder this Memorial Day weekend that there are men and women who have served their country and received very little in return recognition. Some have even been treated horribly. It is only right that we recognize their sacrifice and honor their memory on this holiday weekend. It's way more than going to a picnic and having a party. I hope we do take time to honor their memory. Our lesson today from God's gospel is a very powerful one. The Last Supper, the disciples have broken bread and shared the cup. Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. Judas has left them to do his deed, and Jesus is telling the disciples that he will be leaving them soon. And of course, they don't really understand. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for his absence, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. This is the New International Translation, another advocate, the one that was read today. It's like someone who stands beside you in a court of law. The original Greek, Elon Parakleton, in the King James Version, translates this phrase as another comforter. The old Revised Standard Version translates it as another counselor, but it was changed to another advocate in the new RSV version. The Message translation, there's so many different versions, the Message translation says, the Father will send another friend. I really like that, another friend. And the New Common English Bible translates the phrase as another companion. You and I, not being Greek scholars, can take our pick, or we can use them all together. The phrase literally means in English, one who is called along beside you. There were a couple sitting in that broken down car, aided by a former Marine who needed someone to come alongside them and help them in their situation. All of us will be in a situation sometimes in our life, maybe right now, where we need someone to come alongside of us and help us, to counsel us, to comfort us, or just to be our friend. A man who underwent open heart surgery told a friend an experience that he had. He said, the day before surgery, a nurse came into my room to visit. She took hold of my hand and said, I want you to feel my hand and hold it. During the surgery tomorrow, you will be disconnected from your heart, and you will be kept alive only by virtue of machines. When your heart is finally restored and operation is over and you're in our special recovery room, you will eventually waken. But you will be immobile for as long as 6 or 7 hours. You may be unable to move or speak or to even open your eyes. But you will be perfectly conscious. You will hear and know everything that is going on around you. During those 6 or 7 hours, I will be at your side and I will hold your hand exactly as I am doing right now. I will stay with you until you are fully recovered. Although you may feel absolutely helpless, when you feel my hand, you will know that I will not leave you. You will not be alone. It happened exactly as the nurse told me, the man continued. I woke and could do nothing, but I could feel the nurse's hand in my hand literally for hours. And that made all the difference in the world. And it does make a difference when someone comes alongside us when we are in need. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. In some instances, the Holy Spirit comes with power. At other times, the Holy Spirit comes as a guide. But there are times when we need a friend, a counselor, a comforter. The writer of John wants us to understand that the same Spirit that was in Christ is the Spirit that will come to us in our time of need. Because the Holy Spirit is always with us. John is very clear that this is why Christ departed from the world, so that the Holy Spirit could become available to everyone that would receive the Holy Spirit. This is the importance of the Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that created the world and then became flesh and Jesus Christ returned on the day of Pentecost so that he might be available to every believer for guidance, for comfort, for empowerment, for clarity of mission, and for strength when we seek to reach out and tell other people about Jesus and try to help them in their time of need. And all this is wrapped up in that short phrase. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Not just every now and again, but forever. In other words, it is God himself who comes alongside us in any time that we are hurting and in distress. He is our comforter, our counselor, our advocate, our companion, our friend, all of these things. And this is amazing good news to everyone who calls upon Christ in a time of need. The God of all creation does not forget us. The God of creation does not forsake us, ever. Whenever we are hurting, he comes along beside us, walks with us to help us. Writer Ian Coffey tells of the difficulty Bible translators had in translating the scripture in the Kari language of Equatorial Africa. It was particularly difficult to translate certain ideas and concepts of the New Testament. One word particularly difficult, parakletos, the Greek word which we translate as Holy Spirit. How could they describe adequately the work of the Holy Spirit so these people could understand the work of the Holy Spirit and understand what the Christian faith is all about? It's hard enough explaining it in English to someone that you can talk to who knows the words. Well, one day the translators came across a group of porters going off into the bush carrying bundles on their head. We've all seen it on TV, or maybe been to Africa and even Jamaica. Women especially carry things on top of their heads, but men do it also. They noticed that in line of porters, there was always one man walking alongside with them. And they assumed that this was the boss, to make sure everybody was in line and got the job done and nobody quit and went home or whatever. However, they discovered that he was not the boss. He was there if anyone fainted or got too tired, fell over with exhaustion, he would go and he would pick up their load and he would put it on top of his head and he would carry it for them. The porter was known in the Kari language as the one who falls down beside us. The translators had a word they needed to convey how the Holy Spirit works in the life of a Christian. The Holy Spirit is the one who falls down beside us, the very Spirit of God himself, the breath of God, the mind of God, invading the life of the believer and giving us power to discern right from wrong, helping us resist temptation, assuring us of forgiveness when we fail, and we all do, giving us the grace that assures us of acceptance by our Heavenly Father. The teaching is reinforced as he continues to say in another passage, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I think that's a wonderful thought. God will not leave us as orphans. We're not just his children, and he's gone away and left us on our own. One of the most moving passages in English literature comes towards the end of Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities, a story of the French Revolution. Each day a grim procession of prisoners made it on the streets of Paris to that infamous guillotine. One prisoner, Sidney Carton, a brave man who had lost his soul but had regained it, was giving his life so that a friend of his life could be spared. Standing beside Carton was a young girl. They had met before in prison, and the girl had noticed Carton's gentleness but also his strength. She said to him, if I may ride with you, will you let me hold your hand? I'm not afraid, but I am a little weak, and holding your hand will give me more courage. So they rode together, her hand in his, and when they reached the place of execution, Dickens tells us there was no fear in her eyes. She looked up into the quiet, composed face of her companion and said, "I think you were sent here by heaven." Who can doubt the caring gentleman was sent by God? God says, "I will not leave you as orphans." That brings us to the one more thing I think we need to see in this passage. That it is, one, we are as followers of Jesus, we are to be those who come alongside others who have fallen and need help and are hurting. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us in our time of need, so therefore we need to pass it on, and some might say pay it forward, and help others in their time of hurt and need. Many of you know the story of Jackie Robinson, the first African American to play in the major leagues in baseball. Maybe you saw the movie of his life or read a book about him. Facing jeering crowds at every stadium, Robinson was held to a higher standard at that time than the white players were. Yet he maintained his poise in a very magnificent way. One day while playing in his home stadium in Brooklyn, he committed an error in second base, and the crowd began to ridicule him, and he stood at that base humiliated while the fans jeered and rejected him. Then something beautiful happened. Shortstop Pee Wee Reese came over, stood next to Robinson, and put his arms around him and faced the stadium with Robinson. Robinson was no longer alone, and the fans began to grow quiet. Robinson later said that Pee Wee's act of solidarity, the placing of his arms around Robinson's shoulder, saved Robinson's career and gave him the strength to go on. That's what it means to be a friend, but that's also what it means to be a follower of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're called to come alongside people who don't even know, because that is what Christ has done in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised his followers he would not leave them as orphans. He promised them he would send an advocate, a counselor, a comforter, a companion, a friend. God made sure that no one would ever feel that they were orphaned in this world, no matter what their situation. God made sure that we would all have a friend. So if you ever feel friendless, know that God is with you. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. That is what our faith is all about. God has come to reside with us. If you're feeling very alone this day, know beyond the shadow of doubt that God has not abandoned you. God has not forsaken you. God is with you. God will not let you go for all eternity. And if you know someone is hurting, be a friend, be a comforter, be an advocate, just as Jesus Christ has been for you. May God bless you on this Memorial Day weekend, and may you have a friend, and may you be a friend. Amen.